live here.
We live here.
We live here.
We live here.
A project exploring
race,
class,
power,
poverty,
systems, and the people they touch.
I'm Emmanuel Berry.
And I'm Tim Lloyd.
And from St. Louis Public Radio,
this is We Live Here. On today's episode, we're going to give you an overview of our next big topic, health.
And as we like to say, this is a show about systems, and the health system is about a lot more than doctors and shots. Health is about homes, schools, and communities. So, Tim, we are starting a series of shows about health.
That's true.
Yeah. And me and you, we don't typically cover health. That's not in our regular beats. So I thought we could use some help maybe with, I don't know, a health reporter or something like that. Might be good.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. So, who could we bring into this
who
equation?
Might be able, you know what?
Yeah.
I'm thinking Duri.
Duri Bruscarin.
Yeah, she's our health reporter here at St. Louis Public Radio. So, Duri, welcome to the show. Welcome to our studio.
Thank you for having me.
So you've actually been out doing some reporting a little bit for the Future We Live Here podcast that we're working on in this section. So where'd you go?
I followed around a mobile clinic. And St. Louis Children's Hospital has three different ones. They go to different schools in the city. And in the summer, they'll stop outside of a doctor's office. They go into the county, too. And this particular van was an asthma clinic. So it's for kids to come in. And it's sort of ongoing education, so they can take some tests, they can see a nurse, and the nurse will kind of ask them, they'll go over their asthma emergency plan if they feel something acting up. But the best person to tell you about this program and why it matters is Dr. Allison Nash. She's a pediatrician on the north side, and she's actually the director of this program.
The van has been going into the public schools. Those patients, when they come in to see me, they are much more aware of their asthma and much more knowledgeable, able to talk about their plan and their medicine. And it really helps because that's, I think, a big key with asthma is that education. You know, a family can't really come to the doctor every 2 or 3 months to get education about asthma. But if they see me twice a year and see the van a couple times a year at school, then you know, four times of having that conversation about your asthma really, I think, does make a difference. And it kind of empowers the kids. The more they know, the better they're able to recognize symptoms, you know, treat themselves, and hopefully prevent flare-ups.
All right, so tell us a little bit more about some of the folks who are out using the van when you went to go visit.
Yeah, I mean, it was kids of really all ages. I think the youngest was probably 5, mm-hmm. and the oldest was about 13. And they're just kids who live sort of nearby. So this is their pediatrician who they're visiting, and so they'd go to the van afterwards. And it's kids who, some of them were just diagnosed recently. Some of them have had asthma since they were an infant. But it's a way to learn how to better manage your symptoms.
Tell us about the neighborhood where this van was, and, you know, what are some of the major issues with asthma that this area is facing?
The vans go all over the city and county, but we were sort of near the intersection of Natural Bridge and Kings Highway. So north side, in this zip code, the 1 in 3 people are living under the poverty line. And I talked to Dr. Nash, and she said that asthma is the number one issue that they see here.
Every day we must have at least maybe a third of the patients that we see that day, you know, have asthma. The Midwest is sort of an area where what we've done to the environment has caused climate change, which has then led to more triggers for asthma. So we have more molds, we have more, you know, dust, we have drier and hotter weather. I would say that perhaps this area of the city has less greenery, perhaps, than some of the other areas of the city. It's obviously, you know, pollution from automobiles. And then, you know, the socioeconomic conditions. So if people live in more crowded conditions, they don't have safe places to be outside, so they're, you know, in more and are more subject to the indoor, you know, allergens or triggers. They may have asthma that's not as well controlled if they're not able to go to the doctor or afford medication or, you know, do the things that would promote better health.
Duri, thank you so much for helping us out. And we'll be talking to you more in a couple of weeks.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Duri. The van Duri visited drives all over town, and like we've said, the St. Louis region is one of the most segregated in the country, and when it comes to health, the divides can be measured in years.
In one example, 18 years. People who live in zip code 63105 in Clayton have a life expectancy of 85 years. Less than 10 miles away, in zip code 63106 in North St. Louis, the life expectancy is just 67.
And there are a whole bunch of factors behind that often quoted and pretty dramatic gap in life expectancy. Things like how far people got in school, economic opportunities, and housing.
Those are some of the findings in The For Sake of All. It's a big research effort headed by Washington University professor Jason Prunell. The report dissects a string of health disparities along racial and economic lines. So we asked Prunell to stop by and give us an executive summary of sorts from the report.
Yeah, and the first thing he tells us is don't mix up health with health care.
We should absolutely make the distinction between health and healthcare. One of the things that we point out is when you look at what contributes to premature death in the United States, for example, healthcare or medical care only contributes about 10% to that. The other 90% is a combination of behavior, which is the largest slice of the pie, at 40%, genetic predisposition, social factors, and the environment. All of that contributes to, obviously, the ultimate health outcome, which is premature death. But what we know, one of the ways that the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation talks about it is that health happens where we live, learn, work, and play. And it goes far beyond what happens in a hospital exam room or a doctor's office.
So if health is, you know, shaped by all these other factors, education, economics, where you live, can you tell us essentially a story of how these might interact and impact health?
It starts really before you're born. The quality of prenatal care that your mother receives, the amount of stress, the educational level of your mother is impacting children before they're born. And then early impacts of things like early childhood education, the quality of neighborhoods that children grow up in, the availability of resources like fresh fruits and vegetables, safe places to play, all of this impacts health.
So Prunell and his team spent months looking at all the factors he just laid out and broke down the numbers based on racial and economic lines.
We're going to roll through some of their data, and frankly, it's pretty depressing. But here we go.
29% of African Americans in the St. Louis area live below the poverty line. That's more than 3.5 times the percentage of white residents.
In education, compared to white students, the high school dropout rate is 5 times higher for African Americans.
In chronic illness, the number of asthma-related visits to the emergency room is 11 times higher for African American children compared to white children.
And along the traditional dividing line between white and black residents in St. Louis, Del Mar Boulevard, the differences are especially stark. South of Del Mar, the population is mostly white.
There, the median household income is $47,000, and 67% of residents have bachelor's degrees.
Now let's take a look north of Del Mar, where the population is mostly black.
There, the median household income is $22,000, and only 5% of residents have bachelor's degrees.
Segregation is here and now. I posted something not too long ago on Facebook, and it's a stark statement. Didn't get too many likes. in response to a New York Times article that was talking about segregation, I said, the fact is, Governor Wallace's vision of America has won over Dr. King's. He said segregation now, segregation tomorrow, segregation forever. So far, Wallace was right. It's morphed. It looks a little different. We don't have whites-only signs, but we have those realities. and it's killing us, literally. It's literally killing us. And the us there should be underlined.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just killing black people. Mm-hmm. It's killing us as a region.
Mm-hmm.
That's why you should care. You can't continue that way.
You know, you've given this presentation at this point, you've said hundreds of times. I mean, each time you give that presentation, what are you thinking? Are you thinking this is another, you know, fight in this long kind of battle that's being drawn out? Or, I mean, what's going on in your head?
I'm excited every time I give this presentation because there's someone who didn't know this and they are not negatively disposed to the information. They just didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
That's where there's hope. Someone who didn't know and cares. And there are a lot of those people. I say that there are vast reservoirs of goodwill in St. Louis. And that doesn't always get the headlines, but there is.
Yeah, I mean, it always strikes me that we're in this moment right now where people want to think about the things like that we live here, or I'm sorry, that for the sake of all is all about. I guess we live here is all about too. But it's like, I wonder, are you optimistic that this moment can be sustained? Because the kind of things that you're talking about, the big structural changes you're talking about, that's not a moment. That's a long, long process.
It is, but it has always depended upon windows of opportunity. Lyndon Johnson and the Great Society doesn't happen, quite frankly, without the Kennedy assassination, without supermajorities in both houses of Congress, without a president who had been Senate Majority Leader and knew how to twist arms and get things done. The window of opportunity that opens with the Great Depression. Now, all of these windows of opportunity feel like horrible tragedies to the country, but they're windows of opportunity. You know, most of our lurches forward have been predicated on these windows of opportunity. The key is having an agenda in hand when the window opens. And we believe we've provided at least part of that agenda for folks here in St. Louis.
You said, I mean, these often come from tragic circumstances. So the window of opportunity was opened up by the death of an 18-year-old unarmed African-American male.
It makes
Michael
me
Brown.
Very sad to say that. But no one would be paying the kind of attention that they are without that happening and the response to it.
We'll have more of our interview with Jason Purnell right after this. Let's pick back up our interview with Jason Purnell. He's a researcher who led a groundbreaking project that examined how race and class influence how long people live in St. Louis. Emmanuel put this question to him.
I mean, if people don't take this information to heart, if things don't start changing, I mean, what does that mean for the city's future in your mind?
We're going to see more and more frustration.
Define what you mean by frustration.
We're going to see the levels of frustration we saw, frankly, last August in Ferguson. We can't have this level of inequality and not expect there to be expressions of frustration. And some of them will be less constructive than others. But I prefer to think about it
that we will do something.
Not just that we will do something, but that what could St. Louis be if we did do something? What kind of example could we be for the nation when we decide that, as I very often say, it's not a mystery how to deliver excellent education. Excellent education is delivered in this region every day. We just haven't decided that every kid deserves it. We haven't decided that everybody in our region deserves to live in a safe neighborhood with adequate housing. We haven't decided that every family ought to be able to find a grocery store. When we decide that everyone deserves it. When we decide that we're going to invest in our people again, which we have a history of doing in this country, we've reaped the benefits of that as a country. We can reap the benefits of that as a region when we actually invest in people.
So we understand what these disparities look like from an academic standpoint, but that's only part of the picture.
And as stark as these divides are in St. Louis, to bring them into focus, you have to spend time with people who live among these disparities.
All right, Tim, so let's do that. Where should we go?
So I was thinking about that, and you know, there's the old saying that schools are just ultimately reflections of the community they serve. So what do you say we go to a school to check out how the numbers we rattled off earlier in the show play out in people's lives?
Makes sense to me.
So on the next We Live Here, health disparities through the lens of one elementary school in North St. Louis.
We Live Here is produced by me, Emmanuel Berry.
And me, Tim Lloyd. Shula Newman is our editor, and Margie Freivogel is the editor of St. Louis Public Radio.
Our theme music was composed by Cassie Morgan. From St. Louis Public Radio, this is We Live Here.
Support for this podcast comes from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.